Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. We are 1.5 weeks away from our debut West Coast show in Los Angeles, California, Jeff. November 2nd, It's the Real Live in Los Angeles at the Bootleg Theater.
Whoa, my schedule is clear for that day.
Well, thank God, because the plane tickets are bought, the Airbnb is reserved, and on November 2nd, guys, we're bringing comedy, music, merch, special guests, including...
We got 3 multi-platinum special guests coming through.
Not one.
Not one.
Not two.
Well, maybe two.
But 3 multi-platinum selling artists as special guests and...
Wait, are we those special guests?
We are not those special guests.
Okay.
But...
Yeah.
More on the way. Guys, it's going to be an amazing show and we don't just want to show up. We want to sell it out. We sold out our show at SOBs here in New York. We sold out our show at Highline here in New York. We went to London and sold out our show over there at the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen. Let's keep the streak alive. And that starts with you guys. And we wanted to shout out a whole bunch of people who have bought tickets and they're not even going to be in the building.
Right. And we've named some of them before.
Yeah. So people from across the country who have gone to itsthereal.com, bought tickets because they want to support the sellout. And here's just some of the names. Shout out to Dave Dunn, Michael Sanchez, Dario Tercios, Tyler Denning, Jenna Luckman, Shale Thacker, Alvin Taylor, Justin Aguiar, Rob Hunter, Anthony Bonilla, Christina Nunez, Scott Fontley, Kim Fenster, Alex Cohen, Sam Bernal, Scott Luwali. Guys, that's just some of the names who have contributed to our cause. Let's sell out the Bootleg Theater, our first show on the West Coast. Let's show all the people who don't believe that this is anything more than just a New York show that we can take this across the country.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Itsthereal.com is where you can go get your ticket. There's a $20 option. If this podcast means anything to you, if any of the 142 episodes spoke to you on an inspirational level, if any of the 142 episodes have spoken to you on a comedic level, if we have helped pass the time when you're on your commute, if we've helped pass the time when you're at work, if we've helped pass the time when you're just hanging out with your family during the holidays, $20 is the least that you guys can do. Go to itsthereal.com right now and get you a ticket and forward that ticket to Eric at itsthereal.com and Jeff at itsthereal.com.
Honestly, if you listen to our podcast because you're trying to pretend like you're on a phone call and it's just like you being on hold for an hour and a half, I think that's reason enough to give us $20 for this show.
Let's keep this going, guys. Only with your help can we continue to put out the best quality content online right now. If you fuck with It's The Real, if you fuck with A Waste of Time with It's The Real, if you just fuck with like one of us.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell us which one.
I would say probably
you.
Yeah.
Probably you. If you guys are Jeff fans, go to itsthereal.com right now and throw $20 our way.
Actually, no. If you're a Jeff fan, throw $45.
Fine. If you're a Jeff fan, buy that $45 ticket for the VIP experience. If you're an Eric fan, I'll take the $20 option.
Wow, you're so humble and relatable.
Itsthereal.com. Itsthereal.com. Let's sell out our West Coast debut, Bootleg Theater, in just 2 Thursdays from now, November 2nd. Let's not just make this an amazing evening. Let's make this a whole bunch of amazing evenings across the country.
Woo!
Chicago.
Woo!
Detroit.
Woo!
Phoenix.
Woo!
Denver.
Woo!
Toronto.
Woo!
Scottsdale.
Okay.
Scottsdale. Trenton, New Jersey.
Sure. Real exotic.
Ossining, New York.
Okay.
We want to go to Rochester, New York.
We want to go to Bakersfield, California. We want to go to Des Moines, Iowa. We want to go to
Jacksonville and Orlando and Miami and Tampa. We want to do the whole I-4 corridor.
We want to go to the Black Hills of North Dakota.
We want to go up there to North Idaho. Shout out to everybody up there in Coeur d'Alene, Tyler and Mrs. C's.
We want to go to the Middle Appalachia. We want to go to Topeka, Kansas.
And this starts with our show out there in Los Angeles. Guys, if you really rock with It's The Real, let's make this happen. Go to itsthereal.com right now. Buy either one of those tickets. Again, if you're a Jeff fan,
yeah, 45.
Go for the $45 option. If you're an Eric fan, we'll take that $20 option and forward that email to eric@itsthereal.com and jeff@itsthereal.com and let us know. Oh, also, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Did you see that we put out those exclusive vintage It's the Real shirts for our Los Angeles show?
Hold on. What?
I know. Who I know. They're awesome. If you guys go to Instagram.com/It's the Real, you can check them out there. If you go to It's the Real.com/shop, you can buy them there. People have been buying them. We're sending out the first bunch today. We'll keep doing that, guys. We're bringing them to California. You can buy them at the show. But if you live in
Spokane, Washington.
If you live anywhere else,
Olympia,
you can represent
Spokane, Oregon. What
you
am
can
I talking
represent
about?
For your boys, It's the Real, with these dope, exclusive, vintage looking It's the Real t-shirts that are so awesome. They say not for real, for real on the back. They're amazingly designed, amazingly produced. They look amazing, so you guys should definitely buy them and rep for your boys. It's the Real. It'stherealreal.com for the tickets. It'stherealreal.com/shop for the t-shirts. Jeff, today on the podcast,
we have Man's Not Hot.
Man's Not Hot, a.k.a.
Big Shaq.
Big Shaq. His real name is Michael Dapa. He's a comedian from South London, and he's a great dude.
Yeah.
This is his first time in New York City and his first time telling his whole story. So you hear from Man's Not Hot at the beginning, but you also hear about Michael Dapa's entire journey to get to the point where he is running the internet. If you guys haven't seen this meme, go online right now and search Man's Not Hot.
Yeah, like, what are you, like an old person?
For those who don't know, old people.
Yeah.
Charlie Sloth, the big radio DJ out there on BBC One Extra,
yep,
has this series called Fire in the Booth.
Yes.
Where artists come and freestyle.
Yeah.
And this dude, Michael Dapa, goes up there in character as Big Shaq,
mm-hmm,
and starts freestyling in
what can only be described as our intro.
Gunshots and yelling and nonsense.
Yeah.
And it took the world by storm because people were equally...
Killed it.
People were equally impressed...
And confused.
And disgusted.
Yeah.
That reaction created a superstar, and he tells his entire story here today.
But the thing is that you don't just become a superstar.
No.
Like, there is a whole story before that.
Which, you know, we could relate to as artists. A lot of you guys out there can relate to in this digital era. You know, you're trying a whole bunch of things. You're getting to know the internet and how YouTube can really help your career. And man, did it take off. So,
man, not hot.
We're so thrilled to get the first interview with this guy. And we're thrilled that you guys get to hear it. Shout out to Michael Dapa. Shout out to Bald God. Shout out to the whole
Republic family.
Republic family. Shout out to Charlie Sloth. Shout out to everybody over there in England.
You want to know what? Shout out to DJ Semtex. Shout out to Raj.
Everybody.
Everybody. Shout out to Nando's. Shout out to the Tube. Shout out to the Queen. Shout out to Princess Victoria. Shout out to...
Shout out to everybody who's gone to itsthereal.com and bought a ticket, no matter where you are in this country, for our show in Los Angeles, November 2nd. Itsthereal.com. Go there right now. Jeff, when do you want to get into the podcast?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Coppin' Please, a.k.a. The Magic Word.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Mad Jules, a.k.a. Van's Not Hot.
Yo, what up? Man can't keep up with the pace of the thing, but like, yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah, it's a waste time with It's the Real. Boom,
boom, ka, yeah, boom, 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 ta, yeah, yeah. I'm over here. Get me. You don't know.
Yo, what's happening?
What's good? What's good?
Yo,
what's good?
Welcome to the Upper West Side.
What's happening?
No, everything's good. How are you?
Chilling. You get me?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you realize this, and we've had a lot of big people up here. I promise you, a lot of big names up here. But this is a moment right here.
I don't think anybody's ever been as big as having Big Shaq up here.
No.
You don't know. Yeah? Mama, I made it. Tell my girlfriend from year three that she missed out.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Girlfriend from fifth grade. She left me for Francis.
She left you for Francis?
Yeah, because man like Francis had spiky hair.
Oh, well.
And them times there, I was cutting my hair bald.
Can we be really honest right now?
Talk to me.
We went to London. We interviewed DJ Semtex at the Hoxton Square Bar and Kitchen.
Old Tat Semtex.
Yep.
My brother.
Everyone was talking about Nando's. Everybody we talked to, right? British people, we asked for suggestions on Facebook here in the States.
Theresa May, everybody.
Everybody was talking about it.
Okay. Yeah.
We finally went on the last day. And it was alright.
It was decent.
How do you feel about Nando's?
Man, don't really go Nando's, you know. I might go there on a hot date. if the girl's earning it after like 6 months.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If not, boom. Molly's. Chicken Cottage. You know what I'm saying? It's like your version of, what's it called? Popeyes. Boom.
Real quick, because this is newsworthy. Mm. What was it, like 2 days ago? Shaquille O'Neal and Shaq is Dope went after you with their own record.
I don't know what's wrong with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Man, them are in retirement. They're trying to get a bit of exposures. So they think they want to come for the Don.
Well,
you know, like yeah. that. Your time's over, big man.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. Like, I am the only Big Shaq. Man sounds like a cartoon character.
He compared you basically to Dwight Howard.
I don't even know who he is, but big up Dwight Howard. You know, like that. But
yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal, he doesn't want to link me. He knows that I'm in town. Do you understand? And he knows I came by myself.
Oh, so he's scared.
Who's Shaq?
Yeah,
he's scared.
Yeah.
He don't want to link, man. I'm here, bro. Man's in New York.
You're here.
Yo, if Shaq is listening to this podcast, come through Upper West Side.
No, yeah.
We're out here. Big Shaq is here, ready to
yo,
like, spit that hot fire.
I'm here, bro. Do you understand? I told man, listen, I'm in New York. If you're on it, come and link me, bro. Because you're doing too much talking on the track. I don't really do diss tracks.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I don't do that. I'm not that kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Are you trying to pattern up?
Yeah, pattern. You know about the language. Yeah. I like that. My guy, you're done now. He knows about the language. Yeah, we're not even like, I told him, yeah, bro, come. Do you understand? I don't really play like that. Man's not on, that's unprofessional.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
I'm a
professional.
On your song, Man's Not Hot, you say that your gun makes a bunch of different noises. What are some noises that your gun does not make?
Skrit.
Does not make skrit.
He doesn't make skrit. That's the hiccup thing. You know what I'm saying? Your gun's doing the hiccup thing. My thing goes skrat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
AK-47.
Yeah.
Fireworks thing.
So yeah.
You know when you say the thing goes skrat? It could be anything. You know, like that. You get me?
So one more time for the slow people out there.
Yeah.
It does not do
skrit.
But it does do
skrat.
We saw you did not sign to Island or Island Records.
Island Records.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, Island Records try to put a deal on there for like 20 bags.
Nope.
What's 20 bags, fam? You know what I'm saying? I can't even buy my mama kitchen with that.
You could buy some Nando's.
Boom.
Michael, where are you originally from?
Right, so I'm there. No. Big Shaq has left the building, baby. With me. So I am from South London.
All right. So talk to us about South London, because we were over there for 3-4 days in London, and I don't think we got to explore nearly as much as we wanted to. It's a short amount of time, and London is dope, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about South London and what the difference is between South London, North London, East, West, the whole thing.
Do you know what?
Yeah, explain London to us, the entire history, real quick.
You know, I'll give you a brief summary. I think London is, as a whole, it's a very wonderful multicultural city I'll speak for South London because that's where I'm from. I think South London is a place where there's a lot of unity in, you know, different areas. So I'm particularly from an area called Croydon. So out of Croydon, you know, there are other musicians and entertainers and stuff that have come out from Croydon. I don't know if you guys know Stormzy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Krypton Conan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Santan Dave. He did the track with
Drake.
Drake. Yeah. There's
he's
a whole
just, he's just and Dave also now,
yeah, right? Dave. Yeah. Dave.
Jay Huss. Yeah.
Jay Huss. That's my guy too. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, there's a lot of Jay Huss is not from South though. He's from East.
Okay. Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
We don't fuck with him.
No. I'm okay, yeah, yeah. He's good people, man.
Okay,
I like
God.
Jay Huss, man.
Thank God. I didn't want to stop listening to Jay Huss.
Good people. But yeah, I think like with some, and then obviously like down the road, you've got like, you know, there's another comedian called Mo. There's another Gigs. You know.
Yeah,
Giggs.
Sure.
Yeah, Giggs is down there.
Where's Adele from?
Adele. I think Adele's from the ends, you know. She originally used to go to the Brit School, which is probably like 10-15 minutes away from me. But now she's blown up. Now.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
She's not going home, she's the Don, you know what I'm saying? She's not in this. She's not in South no more. But I say there's nothing wrong with South, because South is a nice place. You got nice houses and stuff there. You know, different places. It's just like here, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got your really nice areas and stuff, and then you know you got your a bit more ghetto kind of areas, and literally that's how it is over there. So if we're talking about the dynamics between North South, and I think every ends, let's say, has a culture, should I say.
Yeah.
So North has got their own culture, South has got their own East and West. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's so mad because it's like, when you meet people, you can tell almost if they're from South. And you can tell if they're from East. And you can tell if they're from West or from North.
What are the keys? How do we know?
Do you know what? Like, I think, like, South London people, we're probably, like, the most vibrant in terms of, like, man, we just got mad energies. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we've got mad... Am I lying? We've got mad energy, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we're not lying. Like, we've got mad energies. And I think... I don't know. It must be something in the water, bro.
Yeah.
I promise you. It must be something in the water. We just got mad energy. East London, I feel like they're coming up with, like, you know, because East London, in terms of, like, the music scene, let's say grime, for example, that's where it originated from like, Wiley, Dizzy Rascal, all of that. That's the birthplace. And I don't know what happened, but it's like things switched and, you know, like, the music and stuff came to South. For example, because no one wasn't listening to South London. We were so irrelevant. But yes, you could be a sick MC or you could be sick at something. But you're from South London. Nah, bro. We're not trying to hear you. From East and you're just average.
Yeah.
My man's sick. He's dope. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was like. But yeah, and I think North London, I think there's certain areas, North, some of the I'm just trying to think.
Well, like Skepta's from...
Skepta's North.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skeppy's North. So they've got their own like little culture there as well. Do you know what I'm saying? They've got their own little thing going on up there as well. And then West London, you know, they've got like AJ Tracy and them people there coming out of there. And so they've got their own little thing as well. And it's so mad because I just think it's an energy thing, bro. I just think South London, everyone's just got, you can just, I don't know, it's like, man, just click.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? Everyone just clicks. So, and not to say everybody, but the majority of people, especially in entertainment, we click.
Were you always proud to be from South London?
150%. 150%.
That's too many percent.
It's not 150%. I think, bro, do you know what? I will speak for like Croydon, where I'm from in particularly, because Croydon's an area in South London. Always been proud to be, you know, a Croydon boy. I think that's where I've learned a lot of my lessons. And, you know, that's basically where I come up. And,
big family?
Yeah, small, not really.
Small family?
Two. Brother, sister.
Older, younger?
I'm the eldest.
You're the eldest?
Yeah, bro.
Coming out of South London.
Yeah.
You're in high school. What's the plan? Like, where are you...
Bro, do you know what?
Where are you working? What are you going to do?
For me, I think when I came out of high school, what's that over here? Like the equivalent of like, so okay, cool. I think
Before university,
so that's college, basically.
Yeah, okay.
All right, cool. So we call it secondary school,
Yeah.
Secondary school, you come out when you're like 16, right?
Yeah.
So when I came out of secondary school when I was 16, I wanted to be like a footballer.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer player.
Yeah, professional though.
Soccer. Soccer. Yeah, I wanted to play soccer. And my dad's like a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I was saying, yeah, man, you know, I want to be a footballer and a doctor, or I want to be a doctor. And I remember, you know, coming from an African home, like their whole thing is get your education. So the football thing quickly just went the heck out the window, bro. That was happening.
Were you good at football?
Bro, I was all right.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, people can have dreams and be like terrible.
No,
at it.
Bro,
like,
you know, I could, you know.
You could do a couple things. That's what
I'm saying.
I could
do a couple things. You know what I'm saying? But hey, you know, we just didn't have the push. You get me? So those couple things turned into nothing. You know what I'm saying? But
mom and dad were like, no, focus on your studies.
Yeah. So like, I think I went into, what did I go into? I left school and I was doing like all the science stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So physics, chemistry, biology.
You were on the same track as your dad?
Literally. I think physics, chemistry, biology, that was kind of like my thing. So I didn't even go to college. I went to sixth form. Sixth form is, let's say, I'm just trying to describe it. It's more, let's say, so college is like a place where kind of like everyone goes to. So I'm trying to explain it in your terms. It's like it's kind of like, so you have the mixture of like people that are creative and in the vocational fields, and then obviously people that are kind of book smart.
Yes.
And so they mix together. With sixth form is kind of like just book smart kids go to sixth form. So it's like like you enter sixth form based on grades. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. you got to get like top grades to get into sixth form.
So we're not dealing with musicians or
no,
or
not
like
really.
Painters.
No, you don't really go sixth form if you want to go into that creative field. So like, luckily, bro, I scraped through my GCSEs, yeah? So GCSEs is like, I don't know what you would call that over here. When you're 16, it's like, if you did...
Like a standardized test?
Standardized yeah, test, yeah, yeah, spot yeah. on. So I did that, bro. I remember I lied, bro. Like,
what do you mean?
I forged my grades, bro.
You were like, perfect score.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. I remember, yeah, I told my dad, yeah, that... Because my dad was so adamant on me going to, like, a grammar school. So a grammar school is like... A top school, and yeah. to go into that you have to get like 6 A's and A star and all of that just to be qualified to get in. Yeah, so obviously, you know, we was on holiday in Ghana, right? And so the results, they come, obviously I couldn't go to school to pick them up, so boom, I remember we come home from the airport and I knew that the results were gonna be on the floor, like through the post.
Yeah,
so obviously I've come through the door now. I've picked up my results. I didn't even drop my bag. Literally, you know, like I'm holding some big bag. Just come from holiday. I picked up the results and I ran to my room and I opened them up and I just see B B B B B B B B B B B B B B B.
So many B's.
A little A somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I got like an E. For Ooh. Spanish.
Oh, for effort.
For effort.
Yeah.
For
effort. Yeah. You know, on the block, it means excellent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got even. That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah, on the block, you know, it means excellent. So I got E for Spanish. And then, bro, so literally in a nutshell, I got a bunch of B's. I got like 2 A's and like an E. Yeah. And so being from an African home, bro, yeah. do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just the pressure, bro. My dad, yeah, he was just interested in A's.
Yeah, right.
A main. Acceptable.
Yeah.
A means, you know, I will accept you to be my son. You know, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Did you tell me you were part of the beehive?
So boom. I remember like he, you know, he asked me, oh, so where's the results? So it's not here. It's not here. So I think a couple of days passed, he went to work and then what did I do? I think I saw the grades and I had to go to the grammar school like the next day, right? And so he called me. He's like, oh, have you got the grades? And I said, yeah, I got the grades. He said, what did you get? I said, oh, I got like 6 A's,
yeah,
1 A star, 4 B's, you know what I'm saying? He's like, son.
Wait, are you a good liar?
Bro, let me break down the story. So listen, I've gone home, yeah, and I've copied the so I look at his face. Yeah. I've gone home, yeah. I've gone on the computer now and I've copied the GCSE results, like, you know, like the whole template, yep. at the top, you know, like the
like Ferris Bueller,
yeah, bro, exactly. Yeah. The result sheet, like I've copied everything and I've just gone in and I've put maths A, English A, science A. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I did triple science, so you know, I did A. So basically, more or less, most of the B's that I got, I turned them into A's. And I remember I brought them to my dad. I'm just like, yo, man, yeah, big man, you know, big man, like. You get me?
Yeah. You felt great.
Bro, yeah. I said, big man. You know, grammar school, you get me? I can go there, you know?
Yo, your dad should have been like, you're great at Photoshop.
Listen.
You should go to the creative school.
You don't even know what happened. So I remember, because I was taking so long, because it took a couple of days for me to produce that, what he'd done, yeah, he'd already called my head of year at my school. Think my dad's never ever spoken to my head of year before, bro. Where did you get his number from? He called my head of year at school, and my head of year had already faxed over my grades. So when I was telling him I got A, he was sitting there looking at my grades, bro. So when he come home, I remember he come home, he said, bro, I remember I was speaking to him on the phone. I said, yeah, I'm gonna go to the grammar school now. He said, bro, don't bother. Do you know, I know what you really got. And you know, yeah, it was there was a bit of biff, you know what I'm saying, when he came home, like it was a bit of biff. But yeah, it was an interesting time. So yeah. Wow.
See, usually doctors don't kill their patients.
Bro, trust
you
me.
Have, so was university in your sights then?
Yeah, I went to university. I think I went to university and I did theatre, film and television. Because I realised, like, you got to a stage, I think when I was probably like 18, and you know, I just, bro, I was going through sixth form and, bro, it just wasn't me, bro. Yeah. It wasn't clicking.
Yeah.
It got to a stage where even though the lecturers or whatever teachers are speaking English, it's coming to me as Swahili. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah. It's coming to me as something.
And your family is West African, so like that's not going to work.
Bro, that's not going to work, bro.
He understands a little bit of Spanish. Right, you got to be in Spanish.
Oh, type the Spanish, dons, yeah? ¿Cómo te llamas? You know? Yeah, so like, bro, it was going over my head, bro. And I remember I was looking at one of my friends. She was, I think one time I was going up to my class and then she was going to the drama class. And I remember my heart, I was like, oh no, I want to be going there. I want to be going there. But I went upstairs to sit in the biology lesson. Yeah. I used to sleep on the table. And, brother, and I switched it up. And then what happened? I went to, I think I started college again. So I ended up being like a year behind my peers or 2 years behind my peers because I basically started. So imagine I finished one whole year and then I flopped that year and then I've started another year doing the same thing again. Science and stuff again.
Well, can you walk in there and feel more important because you're older than everyone and you already know the curriculum,
bro,
at this point?
It feels, yeah, you can't walk in there like that, but then you feel like a donut, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like a donut, bro. You know, you got these people, you know, in school, like, you got these lot that's younger than you, they always look up to you. Now you're sitting in the same class as them and they're just like, yeah, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? But
is this sort of how you feel sitting here right now with us?
No. We're good. We're good over here. So, yeah, I remember, like, we started again. And then, I think I dropped out. And then I came back in, like, the following September. And I started theatre, English, and business studies.
And did you always have, like, an interest in, like, you know, you seem like a very outgoing sort of performative type guy.
Yeah.
Was theater natural for you?
Yeah, I think I always liked theater. When I was younger, I did, like, I was Mowgli. I used to live in South Africa. And I think when I was younger.
How old are you?
How old was I then? Or how old am I now?
Either one. I'll do the math if you want to do.
How old was I then? No. How old was I? Probably like 8 years old, yeah. Mm-hmm. Seven years old. I did. They made me play Mowgli and I loved it, bro. It was just sick. I had so much fun then. And I remember those were like my best memories growing up, is when I was performing.
Yeah.
And so literally when it came back to like going back into college and, you know, getting into drama and theater again, it just felt right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Isn't it so crazy how there was a point in your life when it was like you don't feel any better than like performing and being out there, acting, and you were sort of being pushed into sciences.
Mad.
That could have been your life.
Listen, and that's some people's lives, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And they're just on a route and a path that they don't like their lives, bruv. And, bruv, I felt myself going into that, like, bruv, it could have been so. That's why, like, now.
You changed your grades to go in that direction.
Bro.
Yeah. Maybe you're not that smart.
Bruv, no. It could have gone left completely, bruv. So that's why, like, now, like, now, I'm super grateful because I know what it could have been.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, let me not fast forward the story. Yeah. You guys do what else, so, whatever you want to ask. Yeah.
You're getting into theater at this point, and okay, so some people know, obviously, like, theater is big in London.
Yeah.
They know that in terms of, like, broadcasting, there's the Beeb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's split sort of between, like, London and Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And what opportunities do you sort of see as your future sort of showing you?
From back then?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, I was always, I think when I first started doing drama and theater in college, I was always like one of these people that I just always wanted to create. Do you get what I'm saying? I didn't really care like what was going on around me. I just always wanted to create. And I think I was going for like a couple of auditions here and there and blah, 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 blah. And then, but like, there was always that desire, just, yo, listen, bruv, just get up and just do something. So I remember like at the time, there was a big show going on in the UK called The Inbetweeners. Mm. I don't know if you know about it. They came.
I know of it.
Yeah, yeah, they
but
did.
But you can't catch me like watching it. Sorry, yeah.
You know, you actually look like one of the characters. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Simon Burns.
Too close. It's too close. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So,
it's
like,
painful.
No, yeah. So there was that show, like, and then I think what happened, there was like a Asian dude in my class, and then there was like a, he's one of these kind of like Turkish looking dudes as well, and I think I told him, oh, you know, I got a little idea, I want to create something called Them Three. So I started writing for Them Three, and it was just a, like, about three boys that basically grew up in London from different backgrounds, and you're just kind of following their experiences, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like,
is it a drama or is it comedy?
It was a dramedy.
Oh, so yeah.
It was a mix. Do you know what I'm saying? So it was a mix. I remember we wrote that, and bro, that was fun because it's like, because they were my theater buddies as well. You see them like more or less every day, and so literally it's like we filmed some stuff and we put it out on YouTube and stuff like that. That was like my first ever independent production. Like,
yeah,
it didn't do well, but
you know what? Well, but what do you mean it didn't do well? Like, it didn't spread to,
yeah.
Like, did you have like big expectations for this thing?
Yeah, bro. Because do you know what it is? I think at the time, that time was like Facebook was really popping. And YouTube was popping as well. And it was like, those were the times when people just started going, like, you know, we used to see different people coming out and it was going viral. Like, there was different people that was going viral. And I just thought, boom, do you know what? There's nothing like this. We have to go viral as well.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I remember, yeah, it was getting all in it. You know what I'm saying? Where everyone's gassed. You know what I mean? Like, we were pumped up for the release. We released the thing and then, yeah,
180 views.
Yeah. Like, we, bro, and those times on Facebook, you'll be posting it, you know, getting other people to share it.
Yeah,
and then, you know, they share it on their page, and then the views go over to YouTube. And bro,
isn't that the time when you're just like, you feel like so angry at like your friend who doesn't post
bro,
it? And like, yeah,
that's me just thinking, oh, yeah, all right, cool, you're a dickhead, bro. You don't want to support me, yeah? All right, cool, yeah, I see you, bro.
Yeah,
and so I think, like, yeah, we was doing that for a bit. But the great thing about that is we started, we were doing also like live shows. So like writing content to perform live as well. And so like, well, I think we won something called Oxford's Got Talent. So Oxford's a place like away from London. We did a couple shows in different places. We won a couple like talent competitions and all of them little things there. But
was your dad so happy that you finally made it to Oxford?
Bro, he would have loved it if I went to Oxford Uni. He would have loved it, bro. You know, Oxford's like, that's like the big thing, you know.
That's like Harvard. Yeah,
Harvard,
yeah.
Yale, Oxford, Cambridge. You know, if your child goes there, that's bragging rights.
Right.
Straight away. Yeah, man didn't get into Oxford, bro. Forgive me. But yeah, so like.
But what you're doing is you're not going through the traditional like avenues. You are creating your own stuff because now YouTube has an opportunity, or Facebook or whatever, where you can go in whatever door. You don't have to go past a gatekeeper.
No.
You get to decide like what your vision is.
Yeah, 100.
So that's dope.
Yeah, 100.
And so you don't have to like necessarily go to auditions. So you're doing these live shows.
Yeah.
People are coming to see you?
Yeah. No, well, we never did our own live show.
Yeah.
We was like, it was more like a lot of features in other shows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So we're going to like, different people that have like shows, and there's maybe like 100 people in the audience or 150. We're going there, you know, we're getting like a little fee, or you know, you're entering competitions, and you know, we were winning some competitions. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, but like talk about, you know, when you win over an audience, you get applause or you
bro, it's priceless. Do you get me? So it's like you're getting like a lot of you know, it's The maddest thing, I think it's like the same thing where, let's say, like a musician writes a song and then the audience performs it back to you.
Yeah.
Or when, like, you know, you're playing football or something and you score a touchdown.
Soccer,
you know, and they go nuts and that. So, or you do something, it's like you create something in like your own comfort or your own time, and then the people receive it. Like, it's mad. I'm sure it happens with you guys.
Oh, for sure.
Well, you guys, like, the reception can be overwhelming.
Unquestionably.
And you think, oh, well, we create this and that. You know, you get me?
Well, how about, okay, so you have this football background.
Yeah, yeah.
there's something about like working with the team and playing your part.
Yeah.
Now you're working with others on a stage.
Yeah.
You have that same feeling of teamwork. And
yeah. No, I'm big on that. I'm big on that. There is like, I'm very big on the team stuff, man, because that's one thing that I realized from like a while ago that, bro, no man is an island. Do you get what
Island.
I'm saying?
Island, yeah.
Island. No man is an island. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Island Records and that. You get me? There, that no man's an island, yeah? So, yeah. Like, literally, it's just like, like everyone can chip in here and chip in there to build something amazing. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think, once I realized that, I just love the whole teamwork thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
So at a certain point, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I'm skipping too far ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
Because you are like a young person, but yeah. You do start finding some success online.
Yeah.
When is that?
So if we're talking success online, I think for me, my success online probably started at the beginning of this year.
That late? We didn't know if we were going to do the whole thing in character, so I didn't know how much research to put in.
Yeah.
But I did see that you were doing videos with like Stormzy and stuff like that back in 2015.
Yeah. So Stormzy is family to me, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like when I was doing them little videos, it's just like I'm going to basically pop up at his thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, I'm doing a little shoot. Man, them come through. Do you know what I'm saying? Come thingy. So we'll go. I'll come through. Do you know what I'm saying?
And people knew who you. Like, you know, you were Michael Dapa, and people knew who you were.
Yeah. In the ends, though, do you know what I'm saying? Like where I'm from, like people know me because I'm like I'm a local lad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like people know you from there, and I've always been quite well like connected in terms of cool. I'm just good with people over on that side. Good with people over on that side. Cause man, just cool, isn't it?
But beyond like the Stormzy's and the gigs and everybody who's like made, you know, music pop in London and England, you know, on the whole, what were you listening to in terms of like hip hop and popular music, like overall?
And also, how did that shape your like, you know, act?
Oh, bruv, music. Do you know what? Like, I think, bruv, see me with music. I'm all over the place with it, man. I think I love everything in terms of. I just like things that sound good to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a stage where I was hard on like 50 Cent and G Unit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like 2003, 2004. You know what I'm saying? I was going hard on them. And then I think what was shaping?
Wait, did you hate Ja Rule?
No.
You had to pick sides.
Nah, bro. Because like, you know what? I'm not from here, bro. You know what I'm saying, man? I'm from London, bro. You look at me for a day long, bro. Click, back, man. You're chilling, fam. Do you get me? I'm not from here, bro. We were saying, yeah, so me, I'll be driving, singing, living it up. What? I do. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, bro. You get me? And then I'll finish, I'll switch it up, bro. Do a bit of 50.
Yeah.
There, girl. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Man. We'll be messing up. It's about. I think we were very heavily influenced by, let's say, American hip hop and pop culture, let's say, growing up for a very long period of time. And then I think there was an emergence of, let's say, UK music that started coming through. Do you know what I'm saying? So we had like people like Crazy Titch, who's obviously he's away now. But then we had Crazy Titch, you had Wiley, you had so much different. And we had like, even before that, we had a sound called like Garage.
Yeah.
So we had Soul Solid Crew and, do you know what I'm saying, Heartless Crew, and then people there, Oxide and Neutrino. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These are all like Garage sound. So that's what I'm saying. I've been through like the whole little motion and I've seen everything kind of grow and evolve, bro. And it's like, at different stages in my life, different music affected, let's say, the kind of content I would create.
Because
I like incorporating music in my stuff. I've always liked it.
Right.
It's not like nothing that I do. I've been doing it from years ago, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, people, they just think, oh, this guy just popped up like a toaster, bro.
Right.
Been doing this for like 8, 10 years.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's within you.
Literally.
Yeah, no,
like
we know it well.
Yeah, bro. It's like literally like 10 years. So yeah, I think it was mad because I was speaking to Giggs's manager, Buck, the other day.
Yeah.
And like, he was just calling me because obviously of things that were going on with this character Shaq, and mm-hmm. he was just saying, bro, like, I'm proper proud of you, you know, showing a lot of love and stuff, because he's a proud. He remembers when I sent him a script 8 years ago, and he was that was like a 96 page script.
Yeah. Wait. You sent him a 96 page script?
Yes, bruv.
You're like, make a feature. Let's like.
Bro,
yeah. Wait, did he ask for it?
No.
Yeah.
You see, like when I was younger, like I was bad, innit? Like I was a naughty kid. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so it was mad because they're from like Peckham, and so there was one of his like kind of like youngers. You know, like you grown and you got one of your young boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was one of his young boys that I linked up with. You know, when we was like running around, and so I remember he was a creative as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's called Tiny Boost. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a creative as well, yeah. And literally he knew I had a passion for acting and entertainment. And so I remember like we were like away at some youth. I'm trying to put it in the best possible way. It was like a juvenile hall. Juvenile hall.
Okay. Yeah.
It was away for a little piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And literally we linked up over there, and then When he told me about like Buck was the dude for like acting and stuff like that. So when I came and I sent him the script to read it, and we were just going back and forth. Nothing really came from it at the time, but I was just excited that I could produce the body of work.
Yeah.
There was a big film from like our cult like that called Kidulthood. Old school. Like Kidulthood that was probably like it was written by a guy called Noel Clark. And he was kind of depicting like black or just say urban culture mm-hmm. in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it proper kind of inspired me at the time, because that's probably kind of like the first piece of work that I'd seen from, you know, somebody depicting something similar to what I grew up in on the big screen and on TV. And that sparked me to start proper writing.
Did you tell Buck that he's about a decade too late?
Sent a voicemail.
Yo, you never guess what I just found in my filing cabinet. Fuck you.
I love I Buck, man. No, that's my dude, man. Trust me. He's good people, man.
He's good people. Yeah, I mean, now you're sparking like memories of like, you know, I wrote scripts and I tried to like, you know, Bill Murray was shooting something like down the block from where we were living at our parents' place, like straight out of college. I'm like, well, we're going to walk down there. I'm going to hand him a script. Like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, anyway, Bill Murray did the movie.
That's right. It was great. It was great. Successful. And here's why we are right now. Hey guys, we just want to take 1 second to interrupt this podcast to tell you that if you haven't gone to itsthereal.com and you haven't bought a ticket,
then what the fuck are you doing?
Stop this podcast right now. Turn it off. Go to itsthereal.com right now and buy a ticket for our show in Los Angeles so we can sell that bitch out.
You want to know what? If just one of you will buy 500 tickets.
Oh, that's... Okay, fine. Yeah.
Just buy all 500 tickets. That would make this process much easier.
The goal is to sell out this venue so we can go and continue this show all across the United States, all across Europe, all across Asia, down to Australia. We're willing to go anywhere. We get hit up every day by people who are like, come to Asheville, North Carolina. Come to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Come to Chicago and Detroit. And Tampa.
How are you lumping Chicago and Detroit in with Asheville and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
I'm saying all the people who hit us up and request us to come to Denver and to Seattle.
Yeah, we can name cities forever, but just buy tickets.
The way to do that is we can sell out this show. Guys, let's keep this going. Let's make this a huge thing. Itsthereal.com. Go there right now. And now back to the podcast. For you... You're getting this popularity and you're figuring out, I mean, was it a steady climb with your online success, or was it one thing really like took it to the next level?
No, I think what happened was I was writing for, so I'll take it, fast forward it to, let's say, 2015.
Okay.
Right. So, I've finished university now. I've graduated for like a year. And so
parents are happy?
Yeah, they're cool.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the degree. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We cool. Whatever happens, he's got the degree.
You're not a dentist.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they know that. Yeah. He's cool. You know, Michael doesn't really want to do this, but he's gone and done it.
We got two more kids.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
He's gone and done it. He's got the degree. At least he has to say it. Yeah. He gets the degree. Cool. The other lot, they know. So, boom. I had the degree now, and I'm working part-time at Vodafone. For like, you know, I've been working for like a year.
For those people who don't know, that's the cell phone carrier.
Cell phone carrier, mm-hmm. Vodafone. Yeah, you guys got AT&T.
Yeah, like, Verizon.
Verizon guys.
Don't lump us in with like
AT&T. Okay. The most coverage
across the United States.
Right?
Verizon, yeah. they're popping here, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Be clear.
They are a proud sponsor of this podcast.
They're proud sponsor.
They take all of our money every month.
Big up, Verizon. Big up, Verizon.
Vodafone.
Yeah, big up all of you lot, man. Yeah, you lot know how to rip us all over. I'm joking. No, but what was I saying?
You were working for Vodafone.
Yeah, I was working for Vodafone part time. Because probably it's like it got to a stage because, like I said, I've done like the little street thing for a period of time, and you know, just left all of that, and I just said, you know what, cool, I'm just gonna focus. Let me do, you know, I was working part time.
Part time meaning like the daytime, the nighttime, like
no,
like
part time is like, let's say I'm probably doing like 3 days a week. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like 20 hours or sometimes 32 hours overtime or whatever. And so yeah, I was working and I was like mad frustrated, bro. Like crazy. Do you get what I'm saying? Like mad frustrated because it's like I was seeing like different people pop at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think I was going through a stage in my mind where all I wanted to do was pop. I didn't really have a direction. I just wanted to pop in this thing. Like,
so you're just doing like everything.
Yeah, like I was just putting out little bits here and there. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm working and then I'm putting out little skits here and there and all of that. And it's, to be honest, I didn't really have clarity. It was more of a place where,
huge thing,
bro.
Like, also if anger gets in the way,
fam, trust me,
you get caught up in it. It's like you're in a tornado.
Yeah. Well, did you ever think that your skits weren't popping off because they were 96 pages long?
Wow.
No. So you're so dumb, bro. No, do you know what? We never done 96 pages. No, we never done them. So at the time, yeah, you know, Insta had like 15 seconds, right?
Yeah.
So like, was putting out like little 15 seconds skits, and you know, like I said, they were gaining like. It was so mad because I was so inconsistent, and because like my lifestyle was just, it was almost like it's like I was lying to myself in terms of cool. I was like, oh yeah, but I'm working part time, but I'm chasing this thing.
Right.
But really, I wasn't. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm putting out little pieces of content here, and I'm frustrating myself, bro. And so boom, I think coming to the end of 2015, one of my friends passed away. So this was my friend that shot them free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I was in college.
Yeah.
So this is like, he was the first person that kind of picked up a camera and stuff, or that really believed in,
I mean,
what
a,
I wanted to
a
do.
A super integral part of your life.
Yes.
So what does his passing do to
bro,
you?
That I remember, like, because he sadly took his own life, and I think it hit me mad, like, differently. Do you know what I'm saying? I think, and then I messaged my manager. I didn't, you know, I WhatsApped him. Because, you know, literally, you got, because I'd been thinking of leaving for a while, but, you know, nothing really was, you get comfortable, wouldn't
you?
You know,
your manager at Vodafone.
Yeah, manager at Vodafone. Yeah. So I WhatsApped him and I was like, bro, do you know what? Like, after I got the news, and I was like, oh, do you know what, bro? I'm not even going to come back in, you know, because usually you got to write a formal statement to say thank you for your term of employment.
Yeah.
Boom, I just WhatsApped him and said, yo, this is me, bro.
See ya.
Yeah.
I'm off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I went on holiday with my cousin, like, in December. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I hadn't left the country for, like, eight, nine years. I'd just been in London, bro.
Yeah.
Just literally just, like, and, bro, it's like, you get into this cycle. You don't even see like opportunity no more. You just see this like dead lifestyle, bro. And it's actually not a bro. So got out of there. I came back. I was writing for like 8 months. No one didn't really know me then. It's coming, man. I was writing. I remember I was getting up, going cafe. I'm writing. I'm falling asleep on a cafe table. Do you know what I'm saying?
So cosmopolitan.
Bro, I swear, I promise you, going cafe with my friend Rion. You know, shout out to Rion. Like, I had this idea for this show. Hashtag Swill. I had the idea. And so I'm just creating it. We're going back and forth. And then I think coming to the end of, let's say, August, September, I linked up with Marv, who is like my creative partner. So I've always known him for years as well. And he was actually involved in them three as well. But it's like we linked up, and then I kind of told him the idea that I had, right? And he was like, you know, he liked it. He was like, yeah, you know, we kept discussing it. He went away, and I think he came back to me one day and he was thinking, yo, do you know what? Like, why don't we work on this together? Do you know what I'm saying?
And what's that mean? Does that mean just write it and pitch it somewhere? Does it mean, no, like, film a concept?
Yeah, so yeah. He will shoot the stuff, and then, like, he will shoot and direct the stuff, like, help direct, and I'll just create the content to the piece. So, boom, I think what happened was I started shooting just little videos, just putting them out there. Do you get what I'm saying? On the Instagram. I think the Instagram now had increased to like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little bit more to play with, yeah?
Yeah, yeah?
So I'm talking like 2000. And so this time last year,
yeah,
Instagram had literally increased to a minute this time last year. So yeah, it was just like, boom, I think I was doing something. I started producing something called Four Types of Dads, where I was literally like depicting four different dads. Literally like an African father, a Caribbean father, a British father, and like a father from the hood,
basically.
But it was about dads. Do you know what I'm saying?
Did your dad see it?
No, my dad didn't see that one. No, yeah, I was literally doing something from the hood. So like, I was literally, yeah, so I was messing about with that. And I remember like that was like the first piece of like content I put out that kind of like got like a really good reaction from people, because I think, you know, they had never really seen something like that from me anyway. Yeah. And things like that weren't really circulating on the internet. What's usually circulating is kind of scenario when you boil the kettle and it gets too hot and you touch it, and then you get your little, you get the reaction,
like super specific,
specific stuff. Yeah. Like, ah, I know what I'm saying.
I know that little thing that is so me.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Or when you got to take the bin out and you got to wear your mum's slippers or something, you know, like them little ones. So
it sounds like you've made these sketches.
Some of them, bro. You know what I mean? And we made a couple. So like, literally,
what if?
Yeah, what if? You know them ones. Like, so literally, I think I just started producing I started gaining like a bit of traction, you know. Probably.
Well, okay, so for everyone out there, the barrier of entry is zero. Like you could do it on your own. It doesn't cost you anything right?
No.
Now that you're getting some success, do you understand it as a science? Are you like, oh, I know why people are watching this. I know what people are liking, move everything sort of in that direction.
Yeah, I think I've just been blessed to like understand. You see, the thing is the building that's taught me like how to be able to like deal with like, you know, the social stuff, like the come up.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, you know, like some people will see me now and they just think, yo, Big Shaq, you know, yo, that's the dude that plays Big Shaq. Some people actually think I'm Big Shaq.
He's the guy who's not hot.
Yeah. He's the guy who's not hot. Man's not hot. Man's not hot. Like, you know what I mean? They see me and they think, raw, boom. Yeah. Like, this is a real, he is a real person.
Yeah.
Shaq. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, some people just know me from that.
Right.
And they just think, yo, man, this guy's just like going to ride the wave of Shaq. But it's when they start doing the backlog, then they see, flipping heck, bro.
Yeah.
This guy's been putting it in, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I understand. It's because of that now I kind of understand how to, let's say, direct my content and direct what needs to be directed accordingly.
Yeah. How do you meet Charlie Sloth?
Oh snap, man like Charles. Hey, I'm a man of faith, innit? So at the beginning of the year, I remember in January
of 2017.
I set myself like a vision board, right? And it's in my room, literally. And on my vision board, I had different pictures. I remember I had 100,000 followers on Instagram. I had 1 million views on YouTube. I had hashtag swole trending. I had a picture of Charlie Sloth and Stormzy. I had a picture of Drake. I had a picture of the islands and different places I wanted to visit. I had a picture of the amount of money I wanted to make. I had a picture of like my faith-based things I wanted to do in terms of like reading like the Bible and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? I had a picture of certain things that I wanted to do. Like,
wait, hold on there. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No. First time.
First time.
First time. First time.
That's a lot of things on that board.
Yeah, too. Bro. First time. But that's just how I am, man. I'm like a nutcase.
You say you're a nutcase. No, nutcase would be like just a picture of Charlie up there. Yeah. And then you're just like a serial killer.
Yeah. So like I had a picture of these things and it's just like I remember I think what happened, like I think in January, like I must have said like a prayer over like the, you know, just over everything, innit? Cause like I said, I'm a man of faith, innit? You know what I'm saying? Like you are believing something. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I believe in.
You believe in yourself?
Yeah, I believe in God and myself.
Yeah.
I believe in your grades. So
No. I believe in God and
your
myself.
Your father didn't believe it.
No, he didn't believe it. So literally, I remember and cool. So, it was crazy because as the year started going on, we started ticking things off the board, like the year going on, like it went from, I think what I really wanted to do was just go to a Drake show, and I remember the Drake show was sold out.
You're like that counts.
Yeah. That's what, all I wanted to do was see Drake live
at O2.
Or wherever.
Like, it wasn't even like get on Drake's radar.
No, just get on, go to Drake's show.
Yeah,
because I remember going
follow Drake on Twitter,
bro. I went to Drake's show. I think like the year before or something like that.
Yeah,
and he absolutely murked it.
Yeah, like,
he
was this year sick. He did like 7 or something, bro, shows in a row.
Killed O2, it. Yeah, he murked O2, yeah. it. And I remember like I think one of my friends called me and he said, "Oh, he's got us tickets for like 40-50 pounds, which is like a flipping good price, bro, for a Drizzy show."
Yeah, it's like $100 over here. Yeah,
he said like I said, "Yeah, man, yeah, get that, man, we're going." And then he called me like the day before. He said, "Ah, sorry, I messed it up. The tickets didn't come." I said, "Bro, why didn't you tell me?"
Right.
So it's like that thing on my board wasn't gonna get achieved, and I was pissed.
Who is his friend?
Daniel. Man like Daniel.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm calling you out, bruv.
Yeah.
Get me. Man, get tickets, bruv. If you say you're going to get something, do it, bruv. Come on now. Yeah. Daniel, yeah.
His vision board was screwed up.
Vision, he didn't have no vision board, man.
What if that was his vision?
Yeah.
He was too screwed up.
Yeah,
too screwed up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think his vision is to maintain his hairline. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But,
I don't know Daniel, but yeah.
No, but I think, yeah, boom. So what happened was but I was kind of pissed, but then I said, "Well, you know, come around again." Boom, boom, boom.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. I said, "That's cool. Leave it."
Yeah.
And then one of my other friends called me like a couple days later, and he said, "Oh yeah, you know, I got VIP."
All right. Which friend is this? Because this is one we're gonna shout out.
Droopy Herman. Yeah,
that's a good friend.
Yeah.
Is that
a
real name?
He calls himself Droopy.
Well,
but his name's Herman.
No.
Yeah.
We're with it.
Yeah.
Droopy Herman.
Both amazing names.
Yeah. His name's Herman. I was in we was in the same tutor group for like 5 years.
Yeah.
That's my dude though. Herman.
Herman's not hot.
Herman called me.
That's like everyone in ASAP has like an ASAP name. Like he has to have something to do with Man's Not Hot. Yeah, the crew, yeah.
So yeah, boom, he called me and he said, "Yeah, you got the VIP." So
Herman's not hot. Sherman's not hot. Like,
well, Dan's not hot.
Dan's not hot.
Herman's not hot.
Herman's hot.
Herman's hot.
Herman's hot. Yeah.
Right, these look hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's do this for another 6 hours.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Yeah.
You know. So he got me the Drake stuff, the VIPs. I remember they were like, I don't know, like £200 or something like that, and he gave it to me for like £60, and I just had like a sick experience, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? I was like, "Yo, man, this is one of the first one ticked off the list."
Yeah.
And I think so we was ticking stuff off. Just ticking stuff off. Obviously, Drake ended up following me as the year went on. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we connected up and
Drake followed you before 100,000.
Drake followed me after. Ooh, was it after? Yeah,
we're just trying to get facts right here.
He followed me. I think he followed me after 100K, after 100K. That's what I'm saying, because you gotta remember, I have forecasted for this whole year for me to hit 100K.
Did you understand what the Giggs verse on Drake's More Life project meant over here?
Yes.
Because it took everyone sort of like in a different direction. Like,
yes.
Because you have a lot of like lyric fans here, a lot of people who are like, we want traditional rap, mm-hmm. and I don't want to hear
rap with an accent.
Yeah,
or, you know,
Batman or
yeah,
whatever, right? So there was a certain feeling after that project dropped where people were just like, oh, this is like, this is what that is over there?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
That preceded
Big
Shaq.
Yeah.
So you had an idea of like what the perception was over here?
Yeah. I had an idea. Do you know what I'm saying? But you see, you got to understand, like, Giggs, that's my dude.
Yeah.
But he's the man over.
Well, yeah, and by the way, now he's the man over here.
Right. Yeah, because that's what I'm saying.
Like, or they A-Man.
They first.
One of those. Yeah. I don't want to say he's the man.
No, but that's the thing. People will always first not understand you when you're something different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It takes people some time to perceive you, and I just understand that's just how the world works.
Yeah.
You know, when iPhone first came out, people didn't really first jump at it, but over time, everyone realized, bro, this phone is sick. Now everyone's got an iPhone.
You're just saying that as a Vodafone guy.
No, I promise you, bro. I promise you, because when iPhone first came out, I wasn't messing with iPhone, bro. I still wanted the buttons. I was like, what the heck is this? A full screen.
You were a BlackBerry guy?
BlackBerry, black all the way, bro.
See, that's why Drake followed you.
I was BlackBerry Curve, BlackBerry Bold. I wanted to...
Riding till the BlackBerry wheels fall off.
Literally, I didn't want to switch, but yeah, that's how it was with Giggs.
But Charlie Sloth, though.
Yeah, we hit back. So, boom, as we started ticking things off, I remember I wasn't, like, because the followers on my Instagram started coming so much, I just didn't have access to the account. So, Marv had access to the account, and so sometimes he would check within the followers who is new that's following and stuff. And then one time he just hit me, like, oh, bro, Charlie Sloth's following you, you know? And I was like, oh, is it? I was like, oh, look what we have here. I hit Charlie on the DM and I was just like, yo, big man, like, love for following, I appreciate that, boom boom boom. And he hit me back like, yo, I've been here for a while, I've been watching you, bruv, you're doing your thing, I love it, keep going, kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Here's
like,
96 pages.
Yeah, he's like, yo, keep going, bruv. You know what I'm saying? I said, yeah, you know, link up soon. But he never knew that he was on my vision board, did he? You know what I'm saying? So
now he does.
Yeah. Old type man like Charles. Yeah. So boom, we're cracking on, I think. And then what happened? Like, oh, I got booked to do a presenting gig in Greece. Right, so I was out there in Greece.
Excuse me.
Yeah, baby.
You know what I'm saying? We collect them coins, yeah, B. You know what I'm saying? We're not just internet dudes,
right,
you know?
Yeah,
looking there. So, yeah, we
wait, does that count as the islands?
It's not Island. It's not Island.
It's pronounced Island.
Yeah.
It's my first time hearing this podcast.
I went Cavos. I was there for like 5 days, you know, doing a bit of work. You know, shout out Island Breakout, Frank and that took me out there. What happened? So I think one night I was out and then I saw on the board, oh, Charlie Sloth, he was doing like an event there at one of the clubs.
Out there?
On the strip. Yeah, he's about, bro.
Trust me, Charles
is about, bro. He's in demand, bro.
But he's invested very well, by the way.
Very.
Like, he's a really, really smart guy.
Yeah. Very smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lot are smart guys as well, man. Trust me. Yeah, you know, we are.
It's very kind of you to say because you're in our apartment.
Nah. You lot are smart guys. You know what I'm saying? You got one of the dopest podcasts and we're doing it here in the apartment. They don't even know.
Listen, we got bees, you know. Yeah.
You know, we get cracking. So like, literally, I think I DM'd him and I was like, bro, are you in Cavos? Because I'm here. Like, I just saw you on a poster. Is it like a false advertisement?
Yeah,
DJing tonight. So I remember we went out and we was eating some, I forgot what's the name of that thing that we was eating. Something called a gyro. Like a gyro.
A gyro.
A gyro. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? One of them things has got
Nando's.
Bro, not Nando's. So he in the gyro, and then I think I see Charlie walking, and I was like, yo, I big man. You know what I mean? I said, I didn't call him Charles then.
Yeah.
I said, I Charlie. And I went out to him and he turned around and said, yo, oi! You know, he was excited to see me. Yeah. And I think we did like a Snapchat or whatever, Insta, boom. That's the first time we met. And then obviously we just kind of just little chatting here and there on the social media. And then he did his album. He released an album called The Plug recently. And I think he was going to do some promo work with Link Up TV. And I think what happened was, obviously, since, let's say, Greece and stuff, I'd built up so much momentum with everything that I was doing. You know, I'd finished the first season of Swill and, you know, just still putting out content. And then, boom, Rashid, who owns Link Up TV, which is another platform over there in the UK, shout out to Rashid, he called me and he was like, you know what, we're doing something with Charlie Sloth on, I don't know what day it was, and Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and he said, yeah, I want you to come down, you know, and whatever, you know, get some bits done or whatever. And so, man, now I'm thinking about it, why did he even do that? Because it didn't even make sense, because what they were doing was like a flipping interview,
yeah,
like to promote the plug,
right?
Do you get
right.
me? So I don't, right? Do you get me? So, but I don't know. It just ended up that way. It's like, bro, trust me, that's mad. I'm just thinking about it. So we went. I went over there as like in as Big Shaq. Do you know what I'm saying? So obviously, Big Shaq went. He was doing a proper interview with a girl over there, and then I came in and I just interrupted the interview. You know what I'm saying? And that's where that's where the whole Charles thing came from. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what man don't want to give me a fire in the booth? You know what I'm saying? But like, leading up to that, I think when I was going, I was thinking, hold on, if we do something, this could be great to lead up to a fire in the booth.
Yeah.
So we went there, we shot it, you know, like it thankfully it did very well with like the online people, and so everyone was like, yo, yeah, and then it'll be good to see a fire in the booth and da da da. And so me and Charlie was like, yeah, you know, we're gonna do it. Do you know what I'm saying? So but I said I'm gonna go as two characters. So two of my characters. So Big Shaq originally doesn't MC, you know. He's not a rapper, you know.
Did not know that.
No, he's not a rapper. He's actually not a rapper. So the person that was MCing out of my characters is a character called MC Quakes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So who's MC Quakes is the other guy that you see in the fire in the booth before Big Shaq comes
out. Yeah.
So MC Quakes, he's the one that thinks he's got bars, but he's more like a grime kind of comical kind of grime MC, right?
Yeah.
Boom. So boom. I think that was it. So I told him, yeah, we're going to do it as two characters. Boom, boom, boom. I went in there with my brother. Shout out my little brother, Edward. Yeah. We went in there, you know, we were just doing our thing. My Instacar goes beep beep beep. It's a child one, you know what I'm saying? He's doing his little thing. And obviously Shaq. Yeah, and then obviously Shaq came in to interrupt. And like I was saying, because see with Shaq went in there and he spilled all his emotions. You know what I'm saying? The thing goes crack. That wasn't like can't plan and rehearse that, bro.
Yeah, how much of the did you have any of it in your head beforehand?
Yeah. So like 2 + 2 = 4, -1, that's 3. Quick maths. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it, like them little bars there, man, it, had that.
Like honestly, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Love.
Like
yeah.
No joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Love. Yeah. Now, because I remember I shot a video. If you go back on my Insta, you'll see like months ago, I actually shot like a video of me coming out of an estate where I said those bars, and I said 2 + 2, and that's one of the videos.
Oh,
that
wow! You want to know what? Yeah. I was supporting you before, right? When I thought it was a freestyle. Yeah.
No, it's a written.
Yeah.
No.
It changed. This part, changed
part,
everything.
Part freestyle, part written. You know what I'm saying? You can't, bro. Trust me, we didn't. Part freestyle, part. But that's what I'm saying. You see, when I'm like performing,
yeah.
When I'm not Michael and I'm in the characters,
yeah,
I'm in the character. Yeah, right? Like. That's when like the best stuff can come out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You're like the Daniel Day-Lewis of Big Shaq.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hold tight, Daniel.
Yeah.
Day-Lewis, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was like when I'm performing, like I'm proper in it. And I think when I was doing the fire in the booth, for example, yeah, I was just like literally my brain, yeah, goes, it's so mad because it's like everything with my brain is like I'm creating on the spot. Do you know what I'm saying? So when I after I spat the first bit of bars and say, yeah, Charlie, no, man, respected it. Yeah, you done know. Boom, boom, boom. Hop out the four door with the fourth way was 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yo, so I finished then, and bruv, like I said, I was so much in the character.
Yeah.
And so when you're in the character, that's when you go. The thing goes, pop, pop, cut, cut, bruv, because you know I had to learn it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. Because when the everything started going, so like I was telling people, I knew that it would do well within the UK.
Yeah.
But to let's say cross islands and yo, now we in New York apartment and we're doing the thing on here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I didn't expect that.
I want to explain like how big. Obviously, you know how big it is.
I don't. But I promise you.
But like,
I promise you, I don't. Yeah, because. Think about it. It's like with you guys, right?
Yeah.
You probably don't know how big what you're doing is on that scale, Maybe you do. Yeah, I don't. I'm not aware of.
It's seven people who listen to us, and it's a very loyal
they're
seven.
They're dedicated.
Yeah. Seven people.
So we know.
Add a couple zeros. Add a couple zeros.
But I think. I know how to get on my radar. How to get on your radar?
I saw the I saw the original clip of it. So like people had shortened it to like a minute.
Yeah.
And it was the
I saw Just Dave, our friend Just Dave, put it on like Instagram and I think on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this and it was just like all crying faces. Mm-hmm. Like everybody was just like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people took it seriously. Mm. They didn't know for sure that it was a character. They didn't know there wasn't a true fire in the booth.
Because
there was no pretense. It was just that.
Serious, yeah.
And so, and by the time we went to London and we spoke about it with Semtex and we saw Charlie.
Yeah, we saw Charlie.
And we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. There were people back here, Pete Rock, like legitimate, like, you know, producers, rappers, people who were just like, nah, fuck that. That's the downfall of like lyricism. This is crazy. This is what the UK stands for. This is nuts.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
But I mean, also, we were in London. It took over an entire week there.
Right.
Like it was, we were yelling it at random people
in Hyde Park.
Mad. We're just like, that man is not hot.
Bro, mad.
But obviously you didn't expect it, right?
No, not the.
This was not on the vision board.
Nah, bro. Not for like the way it thingy. We expected it to go. Because I remember when we came out the booth, I was 80% happy.
80%. What were you not?
Now that's something we can relate to.
Do you know what, bro?
Because you never. After you do something, you're just like,
I wish. And you know, as a creative, it's just the. But what if? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was 80% happy, and then I think the people that I went with.
What were you not happy with,
bro? Do you know what? Because originally, I thought, let's say, MC Quakes was gonna be the one that burst off.
Oh man,
yeah.
And so there were certain little bars that I said, I wish I'd, and then boom, 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 and I didn't flow like, because literally I could only do one take, and what you don't know is some people go in and they do loads of takes.
Yeah,
but everything was a one take, and so the producer was like to me, bro, you don't understand, this is so sick, you've just come and you've done this whole thing in one take, and I was just like, I wasn't focusing on the 80% good, I was focusing more on the 20% not good, and then I think my bros were just like, bruv, that was so sick, that's gonna go viral, that thing's gonna go viral, and I was just like, do you know what was so bad about it? The fire in the booth, I remember I went in there on a Monday, and it was supposed to come out that Monday. Because usually they shoot it on a Monday in the afternoon, and then by the evening they'll release it at like 9. Mm-hmm. So, but I went in and Charlie and his producer told me, all right, you know what, bruv? We're going to not release this on Monday. We're going to release this on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I've put up the picture on Tuesday night telling everybody, yo, this thing's dropping on Wednesday. So, all my supporters and that are like, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. They're gassed. Do you know what I'm saying? Wednesday come, it didn't come. Thursday it didn't come. Saturday I get like a draft version, and I'm like, bruv, what is this, bruv? Like, I'm more conscious about the camera angles, bruv. They need to focus. I need to, you know, make sure that I look good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, there's gonna be some honeys watching this. You know what I'm saying? Make sure I look good, bruv. Some paintings, you know, like that. Yeah, make sure I look good, bruv. Like, yeah, you know, getting some mad angles, getting my nose is extra flaring on that side. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm thinking, bruv, what the heck is this, bro? So I went back at him. I said, oh, bruv, like, switch up the edit, blah, blah, blah. I was getting at the producer, thingy. But I just said, you know what, bruv, this is out of my control, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? I just said, you know what, boom. Whenever it's ready, it's ready. So it ended up coming, like, a week later than it was supposed to come. But when it come out, I was just, you know, I was a bit like, it's out now. Yeah, it's out. It's circulating. And then I started seeing
the impact immediately.
The impact. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, right. But I remember I was speaking to my team and that. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go and cut the track. I'm going to go and record the track.
That early?
Yeah.
Like, you knew it was like a thing like that.
Yeah. No, I cut the track. Smart. So I cut the track. Because... Right, it's like you get one shot at this thing, innit? And that's what I try to explain to people, just like you guys know, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? You get one shot, one moment, bro. If you don't,
are you just doing an Eminem verse at us?
No. Shout out Eminem, that's my dude. I for real listen to that when I'm training, bro. Yeah, I'll be in the gym then.
Yeah.
You get me? I'll be going in, but flipping. Yeah, it's like you have a moment to capitalize on. And if you don't capitalize on it, that moment's gone.
Yeah.
And so literally when I saw it, I phoned my dude, I booked the studio, I went in the studio, laid it down. And that's the thing, because if you listen to the Fire in the Booth, it wasn't a song, but it gone over like the 2 minutes, so it could be a song.
Right.
So I went in there, but I had to fill in certain pieces. Do you know what I'm saying? But obviously as a creative, so that's why I took the Man's Not Hot, because I wanted that to be like the slogan. I wanted the song to be called Man's Not Hot Anthem.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I made like that bit, like let's say the chorus. I said, "A man's not hot."
Yeah.
I said, the girl told me, "Take off your jacket."
Yeah.
I said, "Babe, man's not hot." So I made that. Like I remember so when we was in the studio, I think before I was thinking, like, what am I gonna fill this bit with? So I'm in there, I'm creating, I'm just like, I was thinking, am I gonna talk? Like, let me just talk over it. So I was thinking, you done all the thing. Boom, no, 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 no. And then it went into the second verse. Hop out the four door. And I said, nah, this is not it, fam. This is not. I said, let me back in there. Do you get me? I went in back in there. I said, no. Like, come out. Because I know when something's good, innit? Just like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We know when something's sick, innit? Yeah. So I went in and I said, nah, this is not it. So let me back in there. I said, all right, cool, boom. Let me try that. I said, a man's not hot. And I remember the first time I done it, the engineer was looking at me like, bruv. Like, he was looking at me because I didn't do it clear, innit? I was saying it, I had a bit of an accent on, you know? I wasn't doing it as Shaq. I don't know why. I said, a man's not hot. As man sound like an African version, So I went back in there and he said, nah, man, you can make it sound. So I went back in there and I said, I said, a man's not hot. A man's not hot. And then we listened to it. I said, yeah, bruv, this is it.
Crazy.
This is it. And I remember I wrote down the lyrics because I swear to you, I didn't know the thing goes.
How long did you have to like listen to it over and over and over?
I probably listened to it 100 times. 100 times. And then I had to write it out and read it because I'm very visual.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because I like my content and stuff, before I go like and I perform a skit or skin, I've typed it out.
Yeah.
Do you know, that's my way of creating. You know, everyone's got their way. Some people, I can do the off the dome stuff and I can mix it with the thingy stuff. So yeah, I had to write it out. And I remember I was in the booth and I was reading. I say, the thing goes pop pop cat 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 skiddy keep pop pop and I'm pop, like literally that's how I was reading it. And so I did it like 3-4 takes and then I think I got it. And then I said, and then that's what I'm saying, like I said, I had to go into character again just to make sure I got it. I said, and then the thing goes, you know. And then that's when we had it, brother. And then it's like from there, bruv, like it's just been one thing after another, bruv. Crazy moments, man. Like,
I bet
the world is just like so many different people from around the world is like has taken to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think there's something about the way that you wear your hat. I think it's the way that you like stand. The character is somebody.
No, that
is real specific. No,
that is, bro, like you have man like that in the UK. Like, word, bro. Do you understand? Yeah. Like, that literally, that is them.
For sure.
This is how they live. Bruv, they talk like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Some are, they're not, like, sharp like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They'll say, yo, Pret a Manager instead of Pret a Manger. You know what I'm saying? Get me the late instead of the latte. Boom, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get me? Like, protected. Instead of protected. You know? Like, there's certain things that I've added to make him who he is.
Of course.
Right. To make him
but it's all these things that you've noticed, from like
it's
real.
It's observational.
Yeah.
And then obviously, then, like, being a creative and a comedic, it's then you add him those little things to kind of create the character. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think the reason why probably it took off so well, especially in the UK, is because a lot of people have seen someone like that.
Yeah.
If not someone like that, they've seen elements of that individual.
Man's, and for the US, it's because they think it's real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, Man's Not Hot is a real thing in terms of, bro, man will be in the summer, the sun is scorching, 30 degrees, and man will have their puffer jacket on, zipped up to the top like that.
I know.
On site.
Yeah.
Ready for the ops.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Ready for the ops.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yo, what's my man's, what, is he looking at me mad? What? A fam, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? I get the thing, you know, like that. I who's my, you know, like, bro, that's literally, it's real.
That's so funny. Real question, were you hot?
We're in the booth.
Yeah.
Brother, I was flipping bacon.
Oh, it's right, crazy, like, in there. The lights. Bro. When we went up there, it's the same studio.
Yeah, we were like, oh, this is like, they're filming everything. There's real like television lights.
Bacon.
It's hot.
Yeah. And the ironic thing is, bruv, I sweat a lot, bruv. And so I'm going to say man's not hot. Like, you see when I'm doing shows and stuff?
You're not living everything you say in your rhymes.
Yeah, wow.
That's Shaq. Yeah. Shaq will be sweating and he's saying, I'm not hot. That's not sweat. It's a perspiration thing. Get me. That's water, fam. You know?
You're in New York. Do people recognize you on the streets here?
I've come across a few people, but the thing is, I haven't really been on the street like that.
Because private SUVs, right?
Jumping in the car. Don't try and make it seem like that. I said private SUVs. No, literally, man, jumping in the car, going location,
right. Hopping the PJ.
PJ. No, I'm saying, we're not in the...
Got to get back to the Greek Isle, you know?
I haven't really walked the streets yet, bro. I'm waiting.
Who are some of the people who reached out since then?
Ooh.
Craziest one I saw was Liam Gallagher.
Liam Gallagher, wow. Yeah. Bro, obviously, we had Liam Gallagher, you know. Big up
not
Liam.
Noel?
Nah, Liam.
Eric,
Liam.
They're fighting.
All right, listen, I don't know.
Yeah. Liam.
He can be friends with 50 and Ja Rule.
Yeah. Liam, obviously, Driz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Flipping Amber Rose.
Wow.
Did anybody, like, reach out to you, like, privately?
What, you mean DM-wise?
Yeah. DM or just, like, email or, like, representatives? Yeah. No.
Like, there's an artist called Marshmello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you of course.
Marshmello.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
DJ
Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, there's been so many people, bro.
Did you ever expect to be a rapper the way that you are? Like, now you're like an actual rapper.
Yeah, well, Shaq is.
Right.
Yeah, Shaq is. Well, I think for Shaq, you know what I'm saying? He was trying to find his hands at something.
Yeah.
And this has kind of worked out for him. You know what I'm saying? You get me? So he's just riding it, you know what I'm saying? He's probably got another hot single he wants to drop. He might drop Man's Not Cold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get me? So like he's just riding his little thing, man.
But so what's up next then?
Boy, do you know what in a nutshell, just
what's more, on the vision board?
Bruv, I haven't done a new one, bruv. We ain't done a new one. It's on the agenda.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely on the agenda.
Oh, to do a new vision board. Not on the vision board.
No. We definitely got to do a new one. Because you know what it is? I promise you not, like, before, like, everything, I wasn't really working with direction in terms of, like, bro, when you're coming out your yard and your house and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're just doing stuff for doing stuff's sake. And it's like, I'm just happy because that stuff there helped me to get kind of like a structure and like an aim for what it is that you're flipping doing. Because, you know, when you're doing this, you know how this internet stuff is, like, no one doesn't tell you what to do.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You do your own thing. You're the boss.
Yeah.
And boom, boom, but there is no right or wrong, to be honest with you. And so, but then the thing is, you still need to have a structure.
Yeah.
You still need to have, like, okay, I'm going to do this, that day, that, this day, this, that day, that, 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 that. And so that's why I definitely have to do it, because I've seen it works.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
By the way, nobody will tell you what's right or wrong until you actually do it, and then they will happily tell you what's wrong.
You know,
the internet will listen, get deep in your ass.
Deep in it.
And tell you are wrong.
Put their finger all in it, bro. You know, he's like, oh, man, bro, get me. There's always be trolls, isn't it? And that's something that I've had, you learn, like, as you grow. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, bro, like, yeah, the trolling and it just makes me laugh more than anything. I think it's hilarious, bro.
Well, look, your career has gone in this new direction, but I think overall, like, you saw where it was supposed to go, and it's going there, and
you finally went from a B to an A.
Yeah. My guy.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, man, it's
congratulations
love, man.
On everything. This is amazing.
Thank you for having me, man. It's serious.
big love. You know what I'm saying? And I wish you all the most success. Okay. And I hope we can do this again.
Yeah. Well, listen, when we come to London, we're staying at your mansion. Yeah.
I can sleep on the floor.
Nando's, Nando's, right?
Nando's, you know, or wasabi. You know, you like eat wasabi here?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You mess wasabi? Yeah. What do you drink wasabi? It's, right?
Mine's is hot.
I'm done.
Thank you so much.
No, seriously, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Waste Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about you and me, together we are...
It's The Real.
It's The Real.
Yeah.
If people want to find out more about this podcast that you and I do, call The Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to go and get those tickets so they can support this movement, It's The Real Live, where can they go?
You can go and wait inside the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles. Just wait there. Doesn't matter how many days. If there are other acts that come through and perform, just boo them and say you want to hear It's The Real. You can also buy tickets at itsthereal.com.
Do that now.
We are at It's The Real on most social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Go follow us.
We are on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can listen to all of our old episodes there. You can also listen to our episodes on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. It's The Real is one word, no apostrophes, no spaces.
Also, go to Google Play and Tidal and Spotify. I think all the podcasts are up everywhere you want to find them. And
everywhere you
can.
Everywhere you go.
Dwayne Reed.
All right. We are also on soundcloud.com/itsthereal for all of our music, which you can also find on Spotify Apple Music. And let me finish and name some more streaming services where it is, but some of our songs, including Sugar High, have passed the 370,000.
Sugar High, by the way, features Currency and Smoke Dizza, so don't just do us a favor.
Yeah.
Give them a fraction of a cent, guys. Press play over there at Spotify. And come hear these songs live. See a lot of multi-platinum selling artists live at our show out there in Los Angeles. itsthereal.com. Jeff, you know this podcast does not grow unless we tell people to tell other people to tell other people. That's the goal right now.
Yeah.
We want to double up.
Yeah.
So go tell the people about A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, it starts with us. Who do you want to shout?
I want to shout Yash Zadeh. From Biz 3.
Shout out to Yash.
Who said of the Arsonist interview, so many gems.
So many. Guys, go back and listen to that Arsonist episode. We put it out last week as a surprise episode.
Surprise.
Jeff, one more time, I want to thank a lot of people, in particular, Dave, Michael, Dario, Tyler, Jenna, Shale, Alvin, Justin, Rob, Anthony, Christina, Scott, Kim, Alex, Sam, Scott, and more who have gone to itsthereal.com and bought tickets, forwarded them to eric@itsthereal.com and jeff@itsthereal.com so that we can sell out the Bootleg Theater out there in Los Angeles on November 2nd. It's going to be a hell of a show. We want to see you guys there. Even if you're not there, we want to see you in your city, so let's make that happen. As always, we appreciate you guys supporting us. We're going to keep making great content. Not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week.